Welcome to the Run Nerd Library Podcast, a podcast for those who eat, sleep, breathe, train, think, talk, and read about running, and those who are curious. I'm the host, Don Hahn, a self-proclaimed run nerd. I consider myself more of a running enthusiast than an expert, fueled by coffee and blind optimism. This podcast will feature running experts talking about their books, and enthusiasts like me who are here to discuss their books with them. Whether you're listening on your commute or on your run, we are happy to have you here. Hello and welcome back to the Run Nerd Library Podcast. This is episode 6 and my guest is Lindsay Freeman, author of the 2023 publication, Running. Lindsay Freeman is a PhD professor of sociology and anthropology at Simon Fraser University in British Columbia. She is a feminist, a queer, and a former college Division I athlete for track and field. And all of these elements will tie together in the story of running, the handbook from the practices series at Duke University. She's also author of The Atom Bomb in Me, Longing for the Bomb, and contributor and editor of The Bohemian South. I want to welcome you to the show today, Lindsay. How are you?
I'm doing so well. Thank you so much for having me.
I'd love to just kind of hear from you a little bit. I mentioned that this book comes from the Practices series from Duke, and it's a handbook series. Kind of talk to the audience a little bit about that series to get started, and then we'll jump in and learn a little bit more about you and your book.
Sure, thank you. The Practices series is a new, exciting series, I think, by Duke that is an academic publisher, but really aimed to a general audience, which I think is really exciting, while still not losing some scholarly gloss. And so I think that that's really wonderful. And there's 4 books that just came out, the first books in the Practices series. One was on my book on running, one was on raving, one was on fly fishing, and one was on juggling. So a wide variety there. So it's exciting. I don't even know what's coming next, but it'll be exciting to see what's down the pipe.
Excellent. Sounds like a fun mix of different topics to pick at and see what might be of interest. So very cool. Can you talk to us about how you got started in running? You talk about it in your book. What was it that really was the driver for you to get into the sport of running?
Yeah, I've run as long as I can remember. Like in the early 80s, my parents got really into running. They were part of that jogging boom. So in our small town in Tennessee, we would, as a family, enter all of these races. And then because I'm just a very competitive person at heart, I got really into it. And, I would have my parents take me to the track and time me. Even when I don't know, 8, 9, 10. So I then beyond the competitiveness, just I learned to use running as a way to find my own time, really. Like, because my parents respected running, if I needed ever alone time or something like this, I could say, well, I'm going running, and that would be allowed. Whereas it was like, oh, I'm going to go to the mall with my friends or something would not have bought me that time. So yeah. I think it's just been a part of my life in a lot of ways since really I can remember.
Yeah. Wow. And so with running, I mean, you talk about how it's a release and how it helped you to identify more about yourself. And we'll talk about that in the next segment when we get into the book and your relationship with your coach at your college at Wofford, where you were a student athlete. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as well. Before we get into the book, can you talk to us about how you got started with writing, what your writing style is, kind of any of those quirky author things that maybe like there's a process you follow or a certain chair you have to sit in when you're writing or anything like that?
Yeah, thank you. Oh, there's so many things, right? Well, I've always enjoyed writing and now it's, a huge part of my job and what I need to do to maintain my living. But I also, it's also something that I really enjoy. As far as process, I am pretty like regimented, but I try to have some flexibility in that in order to be productive. One thing that I really like to do, and I know that people can't see this, but I'll hold up for you, is I always write in notebooks. Mm-hmm. And then I take all kinds of notes and from different things that I'm reading or bits of conversation or ideas I have. And then I use those to sort of formulate my writing on the computer. But I still use a lot of hand, you know, hand technologies. And I really like pencils. So I incorporate a lot of pencils in my work.
Well, that's interesting. And definitely, you know, I'm a big fan of the Moleskine notebook also, you know, and making notes. And as we get into the book, we'll talk about the notes in the back of the book, which are extensive. And it kind of speaks to that level of rigor that you were talking about, where you're able to encompass both feelings and emotions and some depth in the knowledge base. So super exciting. Is there, when you were approached about writing in the practices series, what was that like? What were you thinking the direction of the book might go? And was the initial direction where you landed?
That's a really good question. When I was approached to write a practices book, I had to think about what I was going to write about. And I'm not a person with a huge amount of hobbies. and so we're not allowed to write about writing or teaching. That's kind of the only rule. And then I thought about something that I had done my whole life, which is running. And as you know, and as you mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, a lot of my work has been about atomic and nuclear cultures. Mm-hmm. So I was like, this was a real departure for me in terms of my, you know, scholarly and professional writing. So when I decided about writing about running, I was like, oh, this is going to be just so fun. This is going to be like, I love running. This is going to be really light. You know, it's not about bombs or anything. And then it actually ended up being a really intense process for me. It was a pandemic process. And then you know, writing about running, I found was like really writing about my whole life, you know, so like there's some beautiful parts in there, but there's also, you know, some difficult parts, some difficult things I went through, you know, some disappointments with myself, with my body, with like, so where I ended up was very different than what I imagined. But I feel happy with it. And I think that, it ended up being kind of richer than I imagined it would be.
That's great to hear. And I, you know, I really felt like you did a great job. I'll be, you know, upfront, like we'll talk in the next segment in just a second here about like tying these things together. And I could follow you on your journey that was aided through running in a lot of ways. And it helped me also to gain some perspective. So we're going to come right back in just a minute and we'll talk about the book Running, 2023 copyright by Lindsay Freeman. All right, welcome back. My guest is Lindsay Freeman, and we're talking about her handbook, Running, part of the Practices series from Duke University. So in the last segment, as you were describing the process and you were talking about where you thought the book might go and where it ended, and you talked about like really how a lot of the definition of your life through it and some of the pain points and some of the joys and things like that. And as I read through the book, there are certainly a lot of relatable elements to it. You know, I could picture certain things that you were talking about or doing. There's a part where you're talking about your dad was out for a run and he got hit by a paintball gun. And I think a lot of runners have experienced something similar, you know, at some point. And whether it's something that's a physical sort of attack, if you will, or verbal. In my case, I was running across the bridge from Louisville, Kentucky, back over to Jefferson, Indiana on a trip. And it was around the 4th of July. Somebody threw a firecracker at me and I didn't almost jump off the bridge, but I was like, you know, it was pretty intense at that time. So I think that a lot of people are going to be able to relate to a lot of the things in your story. Your book came out in a period where there was a lot of good running related content being published. Allison's book, Running While Black. We have right after her book came out was Lauren Fleshman, Run Like a Good for a Girl. Then we also had in a string, we had Kara Goucher's book and also Des Linden's book all coming out. And yours was sort of right in the middle of that pack. And I want to make sure it doesn't get lost in that pack. And I know you've been super busy out on the trail north on the East Coast. You've been over in Europe, and it's been exciting to kind of follow your story and your journey. I would love to kind of hear from you as we pull back some of the layers. Let's start with your collegiate experience, your joy for the 800 meter run, and what that period of your life meant in defining who you are today. Because the story tells it as it's a significant time frame for you, as it is with a lot of people that go to college.
Yeah, thank you. I will say, I was a reluctant 800 runner. I actually went to college on a soccer scholarship, which was my primary sport. So I ran, track in middle school, but I didn't run track in high school. Like I always ran, but I wasn't racing. I mean, maybe I would do like a city 10K or something, but I wasn't racing for a team. So I got recruited just like out on a run. I mean, that's kind of funny, but I was just like, I knew some people who ran track and I was just running to train for soccer. And the people on the track team were like, come run with us, come run with us. And I was like, no. And they were like, come on, come on. And so then I said, okay. And then I just kept showing up. And then the coach ended up offering me a small scholarship to inviting me to join the team officially. So it was a really odd way, I think, to get and a unique way to start running Division One.
Right.
But it was athletics was really important to me at Wofford because it's a small Southern conservative school, and it wasn't the right choice for me. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people had a really great experience there, and for me, it was a real mixed bag. Mm-hmm. But when I was playing sports, that was the best times for me. So I had several injuries during my collegiate career, both in soccer and in track. And during those times, it was really difficult. But I think that, I just through connecting with people through athletics, it really helped me to build a world in a place that was a little bit hostile. Like, I was sort of just figuring out that I was a queer person. It was, I think the mentality, if you're on a women's soccer team, that's like a really safe space for you, but it didn't really feel that way for me at that time and in that place. I feel like running was a way I was connected both to myself, to the place I was in, and to like a larger community.
Yeah. And we're talking about, you graduated in 2000, and, we have sort of the benefit of hindsight now, looking back and understanding like things were so different in a lot of ways then. Right. So you talked about the community that you were in there in Spartanburg, South Carolina, and sort of the Southern experience that goes along with it. So for a person learning more about themselves and finding out that you are a queer person, what was that like for you? Like you said, you didn't really find the comfort in your soccer team, but what were some of the ways that you were able to sort of bring that to terms?
I was waiting to get out of there. I think that was the thing. And I should say, like, I don't think it's just particularly Southern. I think it's the particular conservative Southern space I was in.
Okay.
You know, I think there's other places in the South that it would have been much, much easier for me. So just as a South defender in some ways, I will say that for the Bohemian South. I also like, as I said, I had a lot of injuries. I think I didn't know like totally how to take care of my body as an athlete at that level. And I think the resources weren't there for me at that time. So I got a lot of viral like mono infections in a row, and I had a stress fracture in my foot that was like hard to heal. And now I'm thinking like the more that I've learned about women's health, like that there was some stuff going on there. That's kind of a side, but I wasn't able to compete in my last year. And so I went as an exchange student to Amsterdam, and that helped a lot with just being like being my full self, without, minus athletics, in a different space. So yeah, that was refreshing, because then I realized it was really it was a situational geographical problem that I had, and no problem with me as a person.
For sure. Right. And thanks for making that clarification. I definitely don't want to paint a stereotype of a whole population. So I appreciate you clarifying that. Well, let's talk about as running continued post college and was a part of your life. And you know, there's a point in the book where you talk about a very important t-shirt that became part of your collection. And just kind of talk about some of the aspects of running in your life post college.
Yeah, I've still like really enjoyed running. I've run, you know, many marathons. I am still running, still trying to chase PRs, I guess, in a way. Even though that seems pretty unlikely, but yeah, well, I guess I'll talk about the t-shirt since you mentioned it. But my mother used to have this t-shirt that was just like a beautiful gray t-shirt, very simple, classic cotton tee, and in it in red letters it said "In training for the Boston Marathon." And my dad had bought it on a business trip, and he bought a couple of t-shirts also for my brother and I that were from Harvard. And I was much more interested in my mother's t-shirt always. And finally, like after many, many years, she gave it to me. And I don't know, it takes us on a long field. I lost it through a terrible accident, but I just really coveted this t-shirt, and I found a replacement recently.
Oh, good.
On eBay, the same one. I mean, it must have been, it probably sold them in the airport, right? It was like my dad's last ditch, like, oh shit, I didn't get anything for the family.
Yeah.
So I have a replacement, which is really amazing. And so I actually did just get my BQ in the last marathon I ran. So
congrats.
I was able to run. Thank you. The Boston Marathon. Yeah. But so now I wear my In Training for the Boston Marathon t-shirt, and it's legit.
It's legit. Yeah. Yeah. Where did you get your BQ?
At Eugene.
Okay. Well, that's a fun place to get it too. A lot of rich running history there, of course. So what better place? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can see over my shoulder here, the listeners cannot, but there's actually a monograph of Hayward Field on the wall there. So, So that's awesome. Congratulations. I have not yet BQ'd. I don't know if it's going to be in the cards for me or not, but I certainly do respect and appreciate everybody that has that talent and ability to get there. So congrats on that. Are you planning to race next April? Is that the goal, or when are you targeting?
Yeah, next April is the goal. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm hoping to run a fall marathon and then kind of just like keep it going a little bit, and
Nice. All right. Great. Great. Jumping back to the book. I mean, there are so many. I have about 400 sticky notes in here of things that I want to talk about. And, you know, we talked a little bit about soccer and when your season was over, and how you found running as a way to sort of supplant what you were doing. Also, we talked a little bit about your relationship with your coach. And I know that was a little bit tumultuous at times. I think maybe, I don't know if tumultuous is the right word, but just the way that that you perceived some of the communication with him. Would you say that's fair?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't actually say tumultuous. He was a very, very laid back person. And at the time that I was running, I don't know if it's still the case, but Wofford was the smallest school in Division I. And so we were competing against very large, very storied, amazing programs like University of South Carolina, for example, you know.
Yeah.
And in many ways, we had no business running against these, you know, these really high caliber teams. So it wasn't tumultuous. I think we had an okay relationship, but he just was very Very relaxed. And I think he didn't expect that much of us. So I think in some ways, like, we maybe would have been, could have done better. You kind of brought what you had, and then I feel like that's kind of the level that we stayed at. You kind of brought the athletic ability that you had. But he was a nice person, but he didn't really believe that much, you know?
Yeah.
You kind of imagine it as like one of these like ragtag track films or something. Not that we didn't have good athletes, because we really did, but.
Right. And you talked about, you were a 800 meter middle distance specialist, and there was a problem with buses not arriving at one of the meets, and you and your distance teammates got thrust into the 100 meter race, and you recount that story. And it's a pretty good story. You want to kind of talk about that a little bit as well?
Sure. And it was distance runners and field athletes as well. Yeah, we ran against a team of runners that ended up, I think, I'd have to like double check in my book, but I believe four of the team members from South Carolina competed in the Olympics, and three of them medaled. And at least one or two of them got one or two gold medals in the Olympics. And I just remember standing next to the line of these women, and they're like shaking out their legs, and like their bodies are just amazing, right? And they have, I looked over and they had the Olympic rings tattooed just right below their racing briefs. And, you know, I was just like, I was so like amazed that I was there, that it was, I couldn't even like process how, nervous I should have been. But yeah, we got complete. I mean, that was the best team, but the other teams were also, you know, much, much better and specialized for those distance in the race. But we got totally smoked. And I was running last leg, and I was the only person, you know, running. But yeah, that was like one of my highlights. And I think it's kind of a fun to like be in the sport of running, because you are often next to or in proximity to like just out of this world talents.
Right. Yeah.
So that's very close, and we're actually running in the same race. But if you think about like a major marathon, right? Like, you could be there running on the same street, the same path as like, you know, Kipchoge. Like, it's one of the beautiful things about running, I think.
It is. I've often thought, you know, here we are, I'm finishing maybe a couple of hours after some of those folks, but still, it's like we're running the same course under the same conditions on the same day. And you just don't find that in other sports. You're never going to be on the same football field as your favorite football player on that day, or soccer. So it's a cool experience. And I can only imagine what it would have been like for you on that day. Like, you're getting ready to take the baton and take off. And I think you said you put in a pretty hearty effort too. Like, you ran well in your leg. So, you know, that was pretty exciting for you to no doubt have that opportunity. Well, I want to also go through a couple of other topics if we can. Like, so the research in this book is fascinating. And we'll talk about the notes section in just a minute, but on page 94, you talk, and if I brutalize this name, please correct me. Wadnieler Dauerlof. Is that close? Is it Waldnil?
It sounds okay to me. Yeah.
Okay. So it's the Waldnil Endurance Run. That is the original kind of name from the German physician who created the concept of the long, slow distance run. Thankfully, we have terms like LSD, long, slow distance. We have the Church of the Sunday Run for some folks and things like that. When you were coming across that, how did that hit you? That phrase, that concept, And how glad are you that it didn't stick?
Yeah, I'm really glad it didn't stick. But the story of the long, slow distance run is really fascinating, right? Like, yeah. It's funny, just the time that it hit and the catchiness of LSD. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I've been having lots of fun, like writing and thinking about LSD and then trying to think about like how we can kind of update it to today's terms. So I say like, also there's the long, slow distance, but also if you don't feel like you can go long, you microdose.
Yeah.
You can have a languid, slow run of any distance. But I think this is, I love that stuff because I think there's like, you know, as you said, you're a run nerd and I'm a run nerd too.
Yeah.
And there's all this kind of weirdness in the history of running that I think sometimes gets lost in a kind of overly lifestyle driven, Strava focused mm-hmm. aspect of running. And I'm really drawn to this other stuff.
Yeah, that's really what sucks me in. And then getting to your notes section, and there's a lot of other good stuff that we're not going to have time to catch up on necessarily. So I recommend everybody pick up a copy of this book and read it for yourselves. There's the great sketches in the book. And I don't know if you want to talk about your sketch artist, the pencils, and then before we get to that, I just want to highlight, like, if you do nothing else, folks, get a copy of the book and read the notes and just go through the notes and learn because it's fascinating. There's so much in here that you're going to be able to identify with, or you'll learn something new for yourself as far as running goes. I mean, you quote a lot of the greats, you put in some obscure quotes that I had to go back. I went back and read a few things, watched a movie that I hadn't seen in the past and those sort of things. So pretty amazing. But do you want to talk about the artist and the pencils?
Yeah, I'd love to do that. So the artist who drew the drawings for the book, her name is Hazel Meyer, and I was like really, really thrilled to work with her on this project. She's a friend of mine, but also this was like the ideal person for this project, because she also, a lot of her work is about queerness and community and sports. Mm-hmm. And so she already kind of brings that perspective. And the way that we work together is I kind of wanted her to just respond to what I had done. I didn't want to like tell her, you know, draw this, draw this, draw this. Mm-hmm. So I just gave her the text and then she made some drawings and we kind of went back and forth of like what would work. But, you know, almost everything she drew, I thought was like, that was just perfect and beautiful. Yeah, she actually even, you can't see from the radio, but she made this poster that says Endurance. It's behind me, but that was from a whole nother project. And then she just gave it to me. So yeah, it's funny because we were friends and it was like, felt like a little bit of a risk, you know, to ask somebody to do, you know, a project or like, but it worked out really well. So yeah, I think like the book is worth it just for the drawings alone, I would say. Although I like the sentences
too. Yeah.
Yeah, and the pencils is just, pencils is a big part of my process. I love pencils. Mm-hmm. And there's a really great drawing of pencils in the book that says a collection of tendonitises. So also inspired by Hazel, my friend who did the drawings. She always makes pencils for any of her art projects. So I was like, oh, I have to make pencils as well. So I made pencils that are themed for the book. And then as I've gone on a little book tour, Hazel made me a gigantic pencil. Mm-hmm. That's a pencil that says personal best. That's as one of the pencils. So it's just kind of a fun thing that's like connected to the book, but also is part of like kind of our personalities. And
yeah. And that comes through, and folks, you can check that out on her Instagram, I believe, and other social media, I'm sure, as far as seeing the pencil, seeing aspects of her book tour. And where would our listeners find you on social media, Lindsay?
Sure. I'm on Twitter at Lindsay A. Freeman, and on social media as Atomic. Oh, sorry. On Instagram as Atomic Lindsay Freeman.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, definitely like and follow, folks. It's a great run. The book is definitely worth your time. It's a quick read. I've enjoyed it immensely. Anything else that you feel like readers and listeners should know about your book before we go?
Oh, I so many things. I think it's just, for me, I felt like I wrote the book that I wanted to exist that wasn't there. And mm-hmm. I hope that it inspires other people to do the same. That's what I would say.
Yeah, and it really does open a lot of perspectives for folks. For me especially, I was reading different elements of it, and it gave me an opportunity to take a step back from what I thought I knew and reevaluate some things and just be open-minded and growth mindset for a lot of other things. So I appreciate the work that you did. The sentences are great. The drawings are great. The sentences are great too. And I appreciate you coming on the show today to talk to us about running, and hopefully we'll be able to catch up with you again in the future.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
All right. And good luck in Boston.
Thank you. I'll need it.
Our guest today was Lindsay Freeman, author of the 2023 Practices book, Running. Thank you for taking time to listen to episode 6 of the Run Nerd Library podcast with my special guest, Lindsay Freeman, author of the 2023 book, Running, part of the Practices series from Duke University. My guest in episode 7 will be Lanisha Nickel from the University of Cincinnati. It's a follow-up to our conversation with Ryan Collins and Josh Wachtel about the book, What Made Maddie Run. You're going to get a twofer this week. I'm actually going to drop that podcast a little bit later in the week, so look forward to that. If you have not yet listened to episode 4, take a step back, listen to episode 4 in preparation for episode 7. If you'd like to get a copy of Running, you can do so by purchasing it directly through the Run Nerd Library store. That's www.runnerdlibrary.com/shop. runnerdlibrary.com/shop. Thanks a lot for listening, especially to our listeners in Wales and Canada and other parts of the globe.